This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Picture a plume of a colorless, odorless, toxic chemical steadily creeping towards your water supply for decades. That's exactly what's happening in Ann Arbor. A plume of an organic solvent called dioxane is slowly spreading, getting closer and closer to the Huron River, Ann Arbor's main source of drinking water. With us now are Matthew Naud, he's the environmental coordinator for the city of Ann Arbor, and Sabra Briere, who's a member of Ann Arbor City Council. She's from the First Ward. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Matthew, for listeners who are not Ann Arborites and haven't heard of the dioxane plume, give us a little history. I'm kind of wondering, what is it and when and how it was found and, most importantly, where it came from?
Sure. Well, there was a company called Gelman Sciences over on Wagner Road, and they made medical filters. I think it was like kidney dialysis. And they used a solvent called 1,4-dioxane. As you said, it's colorless, odorless, and it moves perfectly with water. It doesn't break down naturally in the environment like a lot of other chemicals. It was used on this site for many, many years. I think 800,000 pounds, I think, was the number they used. And was disposed of in a number of ways. It was sprayed on fields behind the company. There was a deep water injection well that was allowed for a while. All this goes back to the 60s through the 80s, I think, when the company was there. And a graduate student at the University of Michigan, Dan Bicknell, who now is back and involved watching the cleanup now, found this as a graduate student in Third Sister Lake in Saginaw Forest. And I think that was the beginning of finding out that this was in the environment and where it was. And it's been many years of watching, and the state's been involved. The state had to sue Gelman Sciences. And so the cleanup is actually regulated through the local court system. And then a company named Paul Life Sciences bought Gelman Sciences, and they bought the liability. So they're the ones that we've been working with on the cleanup that's going on right now.
And then Paul was actually acquired by another corporation last year, wasn't it?
Just been purchased by, I think it's Danaher.
Yeah. So it comes down to Paul Corporation?
Paul Corporation is the company that we work with. But again, this is regulated at the state level. So the city doesn't regulate this. We just have to do what we can to make sure that the state is doing its job and the company is doing its job trying to make this better.
And Sabra, it's been more than 30 years since people became aware of this plume, and there have been cleanup efforts, but how are things going?
Well, the cleanup efforts are ongoing, but they're so gradual. What they're not doing is stopping the plume from spreading. What they're not doing is really addressing the potential impact. Part of the problem, part of the reason I think there's not an urgency is because while Ann Arbor gets its water supply from Barton Pond, the mass of the plume is not headed toward Barton Pond. The mass of it is headed underneath the whole city going east. So when we talk about the stake we have in it, people look at that massive plume and they see it mostly under the city. We're not drawing well water. But the people who are affected and have been affected all along are people who are living on wells. And the places where we don't know whether the plume is spreading are north toward our water supply.
And that's Barton Pond.
And that's Barton Pond.
And when you think that it's colorless, it's odorless, and it moves very happily with water, is it hard to track? Is it hard to trace?
I would say that it's not hard to track and trace, but you have to have the equipment in place to do it.
Yeah, it's been one of the challenges is, you know, how many wells do you need to better understand where this is going? As Councilperson Briere said, we test Barton Pond down to 70 parts per trillion. We've never detected 1,4-dioxane there. Our effort is kind of eternal vigilance, making sure that that never happens. Our main concern is it is moving east. It's probably going to get the river down by Argo Pond or south of there. But there are some wells to the north where the concentrations are increasing. There was nothing there. Now there's small 2 parts per billion. And it's been one of the challenges we're facing is that 5 years ago, EPA recognized that this chemical was more toxic than they thought it was. And there's not a lot of good toxicology research. So when EPA makes this kind of comes out with this report, it's a big deal.
And people take notice.
Right. And so everywhere else on the planet, they regulate this chemical around 3 parts per billion or less. Michigan used to have a standard of 3 parts per billion.
Right. What is it now?
85 parts per billion.
When did that go up that much?
Well, you'd have to ask Russ Harding and when he was at the DEQ, because somehow magically the standard here went to 77, then to 85. Our big concern is EPA said this was more toxic and the state has not responded with a more stringent standard.
And you still feel like you're banging on the doors to get some
response?
We're
still waiting. We were supposed to be done by the end of December, and then it was the end of—
Which year?
Well.
Meaning what?
It was supposed to be done by, if I remember correctly, 2012.
This tougher standard.
The process was set in motion by Jennifer Granholm when she was governor to reconsider the standards and align them with the federal government. So that was supposed to be a 1 to 2 year process. It got delayed. When I became engaged in this, it was after a casual conversation about this endless problem. It was clear that being patient working with the Lansing government wasn't getting us as far as we wanted. So we upped the ante a little bit by bringing in electeds from the whole county to really put pressure on Lansing to try to get something done to change the standard.
Specifically the Department of Environmental Quality or anybody?
We met with the Department of Environmental Quality, but we also talked and our lobbyists spoke with the Attorney General's office, because one of the places this will be decided is in the court system. If the state attorney general who comes to represent our side of the cleanup standards is in front of a judge and does not know what she or he is talking about, we could again face a decision that is more flexible for the cleanup standards and their application than we would like to see. So working with the attorney general's office and making certain people there know what's going on is important.
And what kind of response have you gotten as you've approached both the DEQ and the Attorney General's office?
The frontline staff have been pretty sympathetic. I think one of the things, I think there's been a lot of discussion about the DEQ because of the Flint water crisis. And most of the frontline staff are pretty dedicated and wanted to help us. We've got real structural issues here in Michigan that we have weaker and weaker environmental regulations. You don't really have to clean up contamination anymore. You can just leave it in the ground. That's where Ann Arbor, because we've had a city water system for so long, a judge thought it was fine to just give up the aquifer. We'll unlikely ever be able to use this pristine body of water that was underneath the west side of the city, where we have a drinking water well that we've chosen not to use because it has low levels of contamination, even though they're below the DEQ standards. So this is the struggle, is that legally I can serve that water to residents, but of course, as soon as we discovered it, we chose not to serve this probable carcinogen. But there are gas stations, there are dry cleaners where the responsible party, as long as no one's drinking the water and it's not getting into the building, they can just leave it in the ground. And what we face as a city is the city owns all the property around every one of these parcels. So when we send people in to repair water mains, sewer lines, things like that, that contamination moves into that space and there's very little easily accessible data available from the state agencies to let us know, how can I create a situation that's more protective for our workers?
Why do you believe the atmosphere or the climate in our state is like this, so relaxed about this?
It's cheaper for business.
I couldn't give you a better answer. We all want our businesses to thrive, but not at the expense of the community.
So is there a final plan, Matthew, to get rid of this thing, to contain it and get rid of it? And what has to happen to do that?
No, there is not a plan to capture it all and remove it. The current plan, again, is ordered by Judge Shelton in the local court, is to allow contamination at 2,800 parts per billion or less to migrate east and get to the river and just dilute there. To the west, that's where, you know, the real public health potential is, because once you get off kind of main corridors to the west in Scioto Township and some areas to the north in Ann Arbor Township, a lot of folks there are dependent on private drinking water wells. Mm-hmm. And there's not water mains running in front of their house ready to connect if there's a problem down the road. So this is, again, why eternal vigilance, making sure that we know where this is, we know where it's not, and we have early sentinel wells that if it gets there.
And
this is, again, where we've been asking for things like a contingency plan. What happens if this does head across I-94 and get closer to some subdivisions. So the county is going to be doing a significant amount of testing just north of 94 in some private drinking water wells. The county environmental health group does that work. Again, just taking a precautionary approach, making sure that these wells are sampled. We know whether it's there or not. We're kind of reassured that, again, most of this is going to go to the east, and it's not like there's a huge slug going to Barton Pond.
And again, we want to let everyone know who's not familiar with Ann Arbor. Barton Pond really is the source of Ann Arbor's drinking water.
Yes.
Main source.
Main source.
We get a little bit down by the airport.
Which is outside the plume.
Right. Not connected. So reassure folks that anyone on Ann Arbor City drinking water, their water is fine.
In fact, that's what I want to get at, just in a sense of, as we talk about concerns, on the flip side, we don't want to alarm people unnecessarily. So I guess the question is, what should Ann Arbor people think about this plume and about their water as they hear us talk right now?
It seems to me that one of the important takeaways is that the city and the county and this whole 1,4-dioxane issue, this is not really about our safe drinking water alone. This is about the commitment the state is willing to make consistently to ensure that water is safe, that water is safe to bathe in, that water is safe to water your lawn with, that water is safe to drink, that our resource that is such an important part of Michigan's history and Michigan's glorious benefits is something that we can all enjoy. And that deep commitment that we're looking to the state to make to ensure that when something goes wrong, it's addressed, that's the needle we want to move. That's not what we're seeing when it comes to 1,4-dioxane, and it's not what we're seeing in other places. 1,4-dioxane is Ann Arbor's big issue, but it's not only in Ann Arbor. There are how many different chemicals that we're adjusting the...
I think it's 309 different chemicals that the standards are being reviewed on right now.
And some of those standards are resulting in, you know, this isn't as dangerous as we thought. But some of them, just like 1,4-dioxane, it's more dangerous than the EPA thought. We want that to be fixed. We want that to be addressed and consistently addressed.
Sabra Briere is an Ann Arbor City Council member, and Matthew Naud is the environmental coordinator for the city of Ann Arbor. We turn now to another local official sharing their frustration and concern, Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner Evan Pratt. Pratt points out that even when the DEQ finally gets around to changing the standards for acceptable levels of dioxane in our environment, those changes alone will not be enough to compel Paul Corporation to change its cleanup process.
Basically, the way Michigan law is written, unlike federal law, is if the standard changes, it doesn't automatically mean that someone who's in a cleanup program with the DEQ would have to match the new criteria. So in my world, I guess, if we've got all the information that says this is bad stuff, I'm not sure that we couldn't go to court, you know, sooner rather than later. This is in the Attorney General's office, and I think it's only been very recently that they've actually come to talk to local people about what the issues and problems are. The bottom line is we've heard that the locals can't be involved in strategizing what they do in court, which I guess if that's what the Attorney General says, that's all well and good. But I would like to see an Attorney General's office that actually goes out and tries to find any information they can to win the case, because I think we're all familiar with other cities where they maybe haven't employed a vigorous effort even when requested by their state legislators.
Can I ask, do you feel like you're being listened to by the Attorney General of Michigan and the Department of Environmental Quality?
When local officials requested a meeting with the Attorney General, we met with three of his staff, and they let us know that the best way to be involved would be to join in the lawsuit. That's a pretty expensive proposition on the backs of local government. We feel like the Attorney General's office is the one who's responsible for pursuing this. And again, they should be digging around everywhere they can to find all the information that would help them win in court. To date, you know, certainly they say we haven't had a favorable judge and we've had our best person on it. All I know is that we've had the second best attorney in one courtroom every time we've been in court.
How about the DEQ? What more do you want to see them do?
Here's a couple of thoughts that maybe drive the answer to that question. One is that in the late 80s, the DEQ declared this the second most polluted site in the state, and it's bigger now than it was then. Another thought is the judge ordered this cleanup or the fix, let's say, be complete within 5 years during a 2000-2001 amendment to the consent judgment. And again, the plume's bigger than it was. So the current strategy isn't working, Cynthia. And I would love to hear what is the list of things that need to happen and when will they be done? If we don't know when they'll be done, what's the list of things that need to happen to solve the problem? What are the unknowns? How do we turn unknowns into knowns? I mean, at the biggest level, it's not that hard.
And you don't know for sure, right? But it is quite possible this dioxane plume could reach Barton Pond, which is the source of Ann Arbor's drinking water. Do you have a contingency plan?
Yeah, I don't personally have one. The county's not necessarily involved. If I was writing down the three things that would be important elements of a contingency plan, the first would be, what are the triggers that would tell us we need to start planning for a new water source?
Really is time it, to act.
Yeah, is it when it gets within 1,000 feet of the water supply or 500 feet or when it's moving at a certain pace or speed? We need to agree on these things in order to do that. The second thing that's really directly related to that is there's about a one-mile stretch along the north side of the plume, which is underneath a good chunk of the old west side of Ann Arbor. And there's about a one-mile stretch where there's no monitoring wells or no information available. And, you know, at the city's landfill where they've got dioxane to manage, they've got monitoring wells every 25 feet apart. I'd love to have confirmed from the DEQ, what are they doing to have a better, what we call a picket fence that would tell us, hey, it's hit this spot.
And then what's your third?
The third thing would be there needs to be a game plan for if we're out of water. Number one, is there a place to get enough water to serve roughly 150,000 people? Ann Arbor, as we know, is about 115,000, and they provide water to some of the neighboring townships. So we need to determine if we need a new water supply, where would it come from?
I do seem to hear that you're not feeling the sense of urgency from the state attorney general and from the Department of Environmental Quality as you would like to. Do you worry? I mean, here this has been festering for 30, 40 years. Are you afraid 30 years down the road we're still going to be talking about this?
Well, I sure hope we're not still talking about it in 30 years. So I'd like to be optimistic and think that these things could be addressed. But I mean, I'm a year from sitting in the DEQ's office and believing that we'd gotten a verbal agreement to work on a contingency plan, and the follow-up phone calls didn't produce any sort of discussion meeting, written lists, or anything like that.
Evan Pratt, Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. Thanks, Evan, for being with us.
Yeah, thank you, Cynthia. Thanks for inviting me on.
We reached out to the Department of Environmental Quality for a response, and you'll hear that interview with Lester Graham on tomorrow's Stateside. And we reached out to the State Attorney General's office, and we're told there's no knowledge of any planned action. Calls to representatives at Paul Corporation and its owner, Danaher Corporation, were not immediately returned.